it's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. And it finally happened. They went back to back. You're going to hear that lot because I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like the Kings are starting to get rolling here. And I know the Pistons aren't very good, and that's probably the nicest thing anybody's ever said about the Pistons. And I know the Hornets aren't very good either. But to me, Chris, that's not the point. The point was you've done something or you did something that you haven't done before. You get the back-to-back. Coach Mike Brown feels really good about this team. And what a staunch difference between who you just faced and who you are about to face.
My gosh.
You go from, what is the opposite of the cream of the crop? Is it just the bottom of the barrel? From the bottom of the barrel to the cream of the crop.
Yep.
So the Kings are going to have to flip it because things are going to change. And the speed of the game, I know they all get paid, right? But the speed of the game itself is going to be much different. I'm worried. Obviously, Joel Embiid, assuming he plays, we know he's a problem. I want to see De'Aaron Fox, and we have time to get into the Sixers, don't get me wrong, but Tyrese Maxey, who is going to guard Tyrese Maxey? De'Aaron Fox looked better last night. He looks like he's rounding back into form, but who's going to guard that guy? And to your point, we know we love talking about these longer wings. Tobias Harris, who I think is maybe underwhelmed based on his price tag these last couple years, but that's another guy who's running around. Is Keegan going to have to check him? But on the other side, you got to check the Kings too. But before we get to all that, Chris Watkins, they get the back-to-back done.
Yes.
The easiest back-to-back I think the NBA could create.
Possibly in NBA history.
In NBA history, but you get it done. How are you feeling about the Beam team?
Good, yeah. I think what you said there is important, and even I need to remember that we can't criticize this team for not doing easy things, but then when they do something that we view as easy, just disregard it. So, you know, even
look
though
at
it
you.
Was...
Look at the
yeah,
growth.
Yeah, yeah, look at the
look
growth.
At the
look
growth.
At it, look at it, look at it. even though it's a weak back-to-back, even though, you know, the Kings didn't make it look as pretty as possible in that first game in Detroit, they pretty much took care of business yesterday. Charlotte didn't go on any significant runs. They took care of business, and that's what's important. And, you know, yeah, like you said, they have a much bigger challenge ahead of them to close out this road trip. Jason told us in the crosstalk, it's, what, 9 straight against Philly, 14 straight losses to the Bucks. So that's a really big challenge for this team.
Not great.
And it'd be nice to see them split them. And, hey, I'm not counting out the fact that maybe, just maybe, they can surprise us and win both of them. Because, again, we've seen that Bucks team, if you look at their current form, they're up and down. They're not the same team that they've been in the past where they can really, you know, just suffocate you defensively. It's a lot more open now, and we know how this Kings team likes to get up and down. They like to have high-scoring games, so I don't think that that's necessarily the same challenge that it's been the past couple years. The Sixers, they're a good team. I think they still present all the same challenges that the Kings have faced in the past, still really long, still have an MVP in Joel Embiid. I assume he's probably going to play on Friday. No official word on that yet, but yeah, man, it's good that they took care of business, and I'm hoping that they understand that the level of competition just rose, like you said, probably like 3 levels here. So I'm hoping that they meet that challenge head on and don't put themselves behind the 8-ball early against Philly, because that can just demoralize you completely.
Hopefully we have an update on Kevin Huerter.
Hopefully.
Who rolled his ankle within the first 3 seconds
Something
of
like
the
that.
Game.
Yeah, legitimately.
Right? So that's not great. We're hoping that Kevin recovers quickly and can get back out there. But if he doesn't, it feels like the team is going to rally around the guys that are able to play. So obviously the Kings are going to take over this show as they always do. But we have some really big national news that we need to really dissect. And we're going to do this a couple times here at the beginning of the show and really at the bottom of the show as well. Because when is the last time 3 Hall of Fame coaches decide that they are, well, I guess, did Pete Carroll actually decide or not?
Didn't
I'm not really
like
sure.
Didn't sound
but
like it.
But within the course of 24 hours, Bill Belichick, our childhood.
Yeah.
Right? We're getting old, man. We're getting old. Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Nick Saban, all done.
All of them.
All done.
In 24 hours.
Yeah.
Just nuts. I mean, what a crazy 24 hours. Like you said, the Pete Carroll situation kind of came out of nowhere. I'm excited to talk with Brandon Gustafson at 1:15 to try and hear if there was anything, because I don't know about you.
He's hanging around.
We've been focusing on the Niners pretty strong, but I didn't hear much whispers of, hey, like they're thinking about this, or Pete has it on, you know, has it on his radar that even he's on the hot seat. None of that. We really didn't hear any of it. So really interesting. And then the Saban Belichick thing, I wonder how much of that was coordinated to an extent. I know those two are super, super close, have shared secrets throughout the years with each other. It's probably the Saban one I'm actually not super surprised by, because it feels like when you think about it, this new era of college football they're in, Saban's from the old regime. This is a young man's game at this point, with all of, you know, recruiting was already tough enough for some of these older coaches. Now you're throwing in the transfer portal, where you have to not only pay attention to the fluctuation of your team, but okay, now we have to get these high school kids in and these college kids. Yeah. It just sounds like a mess, and I can imagine how someone from the old regime would just say, I can't do this anymore. This is not the game that I fell in love with.
No.
And I know how to dominate, much like how you see in college basketball as well, Coach K leaving. I think that it's all connected. And the Belichick thing has kind of felt like it's been brewing for a while. So that one's not the biggest surprise.
Yeah, some people came down my road because I did post
you?
Yesterday.
No way.
Well, it was half serious, half trolly, because at the end I did say that Saban leaving was honestly kind of soft, okay? And look, I was joking. I was half joking. I'm gonna be honest with you.
So lucky we're not in the South, because
I think we'd actually have some real problems.
We would have to board up the studio.
But I'm just saying, I understand he's 72 and he is a great coach, right?
Yeah.
But he built an empire.
Yes.
And once he built the empire, the way the NCAA was set up, he just kept benefiting from that empire. They had the best, you know, facilities.
Yeah.
They had the best team.
Yeah.
So he's got five stars fighting.
Yeah.
Then once you got there, you couldn't really leave because you didn't want to sit a year.
Yep.
Once the transfer portal came and NIL, I'm not waiting. Okay, so he couldn't harbor five-star recruits like he used to, and on top of everything you just said. So I was kidding with the whole soft remark. I'm just teasing. But at the same time,
ran away from the grind, huh?
Come
on.
Let's just say this. If they never changed the rules, do we think Nick Saban would have been retiring?
No way.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not coming down his road. Great, great career.
Yeah.
One of, if not the best college coach of all time.
Best of my lifetime, hands down.
But he said,
not even close.
What happened to the game I love and dipped?
Yep.
He said, deuces, I'm not dealing with this. I'm out.
Yeah.
Okay. And Bill Belichick said, I don't really feel like dealing with the rookie QB. Or the Patriots said, we don't trust you to kind of turn this thing around. However it happened, we'll see you when we see you. And Pete Carroll, we know, and we'll talk to Brandon Gustafson later, we know that Pete Carroll didn't want to retire.
Mm-hmm.
So what actually happened? He's still a part of the...
They want him to be in the front office, but...
Yeah. He's still a part of the team in some way. So, three guys that I would say were... Whether you want to use parted ways...
I mean, they tell the story of football, really, of the 2000s.
Yeah.
I mean, from Pete Carroll and USC to, you know, Nick Saban and Bama, but even his short little NFL period needs to be talked about. And then, of course, Bill Belichick just running things for the past 20-plus years. Yeah, I mean, those three coaches, really, again, they tell the story of the 2000s from Pete Carroll's Seahawks days and all. It's a really big day. I mean, it feels much like in a couple of years, the NBA is going to go through a similar thing where, you know, when LeBron retires and Steph starts reaching the end of his career, it feels empty. And I think we're going to get a sense of that in the NFL next year when, there's no, who knows if Belichick will be around next season, but Belichick won't be on the Patriots. Tom Brady won't be around anymore. And, it's going to be completely different. And, you know, college football already was going to look completely different next year. But without Saban, it's going to be interesting to see, is this just now the Kirby Smart era? Or is this an opportunity for Deion Sanders to really build up that program, because, you know, Georgia definitely has the biggest head start on building this who's going to run college football during this new era. But, you know, I think with the transfer rules and all that stuff, it's pretty wide open. Yeah, it's going to be completely different.
Yeah, that's an outstanding point. When I look at Nick Saban and his tenure, what we always talk about is the hate watching.
Yeah,
you had people that have big never time. Been to Alabama wearing Roll Tide shirts.
Oh, I don't give a about nothing but the Tide, baby.
Very true. Thank you, Drewski.
I don't give a about nothing but the Tide, baby.
Thank you, Drewski. Then on the other side of it, you have the people that, man, I don't like Saban. There's some that was, and it was kind of me. It was kind of me too.
That was me.
I don't really like Saban. He's always around. He always has the best recruits. Yeah. I just want him to finally lose. Yeah. And then
those
the rules,
big like Gino Auriemma vibes.
Yes. Like, that's another guy. Yeah. It's your time soon. Come on, Gino. Yeah, it's your time soon too. And then the rules changed, and you still didn't like Alabama. They still they won it within the college football playoff, I believe.
Yes,
they won
yes.
doing that as well too. So. But it was just different when it was just every single year.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Kyle, the college football playoff, that started before the transfer portal. I know it started before NIL, but before the transfer portal.
Yeah, 2016, so transfer portal era rules kind of changed around 2019, 2020. This was year 10 of the playoff, so year one would have been 2014.
So the playoff, that was kind of independent, and then you saw the shift. And when Georgia started getting involved, and you have Clemson, who once Dabo didn't have a generational QB, they couldn't do anything. So I think where we're headed to with the transfer portal and with not having that juggernaut, what's scary for college football is you kind of need somebody to hate.
Yes,
I mean, the Chris Watkins and the Allen Styles that are on the West Coast, are you really fiending to watch somebody?
Could it turn into baseball? Where it is just like really regional.
Yeah.
Especially with you don't even have Pac-12. Like,
you don't have the Pac-12.
Doesn't exist locally. So,
right.
You know, like, is it just going to be SEC? Like, I, you know, of course in the South, the SEC is always going to be huge. You know, the Big 12, Big 10, it seems like with their expansion, there'll probably be a lot of attention given to it with the weekly matchups that are just going to be insane. But, you know, for a lot of the coasters, if you will, the East and West Coast, I don't know how much interest there's going to be in college.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, there's going to be the big stories, but to your point, like if there's not this Yankees, Dodgers, Alabama, unless Georgia really becomes that big bad force, I don't know how people who are casually tuning into college football and don't have, you know, some allegiance through family or through themselves, how are they going to relate and really just engulf themselves into the culture of college football. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, got to get to a break. When we get back, we'll pick up the coaches conversation later in the show in the 1 o'clock hour. But it's Beam Talk when we get back, because the Kings are rolling. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
I don't give a about nothing but the Tide, baby.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Between those three coaches, 16 championships were won between college and the pros. That's a lot of championship pedigree that will no longer be in their respective leagues. So shout out to them having a little bit of fun with Nick Saban. But it is a changing landscape. Shout out to Pete Carroll. I mean, if I have the same energy as Pete Carroll that age, that would be outstanding.
Incredible.
And Bill Belichick. I mean, I think they all were respected by everyone, but bugged people in different ways.
Definitely.
Which I think is just a part of success, right?
It's also a part of respect. You know?
Yeah. Sean McVay is kind of the new wave of he bugs people. I'll be honest with you.
Kyle Shanahan
bothers
people.
Kyle Shanahan, but I'll be honest. When I talk Niners, though, I feel like Kyle Shanahan can be a bit smug. But I feel like maybe it's only not. Maybe it's because we're in Niner country. But I don't know if there's that Kyle Shanahan hate yet, because he hasn't won.
Yeah.
In part, he's got to win.
I think nationally, there's a good amount of. I don't know if skepticism is necessarily the right word, but I think that there is. People are aware of his smugness.
Once he wins,
that's kind of
then
the rap on
hated.
Shanahan, actually, is that he's possibly too smart for his own good.
Right, right. So, is it just football? I'm thinking off the top of my head, right? If you are King, well, we were talking with Jason and, you know, there's Phil Jackson. But do you hate basketball coaches the same way you hate football coaches or baseball managers?
Not really as much anymore. I mean, coaches in the NBA used to be a little, and just in general, used to be a little bit more of like a frontal figure. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, it's so much about the players, you barely even think about the coaches. So.
Which is why if you go to college basketball, there's a dozen names of people who are very much hated in that sport.
That's true.
Because the coach is still the CEO.
Is the
coach
of the program. Yeah, especially. And it probably is going to
be becoming less and less. But
I was going to say more and more because you can't follow players. There are no
the brands,
JJ Reddicks anymore, right? Sure. Because people keep, or even somebody we're going to see on the Suns in a couple days, you know, Allen, you know, Grayson Allen, guys like that.
It feels more AAU though in college basketball, mm-hmm. where it's like, hey, I'm going to play for Penny Hardaway because he's cool, not because I want to play for Coach K because I feel like he's going to get me most prepared for the NBA.
Yeah. No, that's true. And yeah, it's a new day in both footballs, college football, and also in the NFL as well.
Until Bill Belichick becomes the Falcons coach.
Is that what you think? He's headed
It seems like Washington and Atlanta are the two places interested, and he still wants to coach.
Yeah. We can have that conversation. Where are the best spots? I mean, you need a quarterback in ATL.
I'd be like, do you know who I'm Bill Belichick. I get to choose good. I'm not just some random coach. I'm not just.
Oh, those are the good options. There are worse ones out there.
They both have offensive weapons, but neither of them have a quarterback.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. And we can pull up Tankathon to see who's closer to getting their guy and who's higher in the draft.
Right.
Well, so Washington has the 2 pick and the Falcons have the 8 pick.
There you go. Or Seattle is probably a more complete team, but you got to deal with the Niners. Let's not forget that. That's a better question. Do you want to also part of building a team? I'd rather go to the NFC South than the NFC West.
Right. And don't think that Bill Belichick's not thinking about that because that man's been in the AFC
finessing
East
for years.
Years that man was just dominating that division. So that's definitely something he can keep aware of.
But
also, if you're thinking of that, NFC South is probably the way that you want to go.
The other available jobs are off the table because, one, Bill Belichick's not going to the Chargers. And two,
why not?
He's not going to, because it's the Chargers. Two, he's not going to the Raiders.
He's going to go to the Commanders then?
So he's not going to the Raiders because guess who's a part owner of the Raiders?
Tom Brady.
Yep.
What about the Titans? You need a quarterback, though.
It depends how you feel about Will Levis.
Mayo man.
Washington and Atlanta are just the ones that Schefter's connecting him to, or at least those teams are interested.
Yeah, yeah. Those guys, Mayo man can spin it, Will Levis. So we'll see what happens to really all three of them. Don't Saban retiring. That word retire, it's like bankruptcy, right? Bankruptcy means something different for non-rich people than it does for rich people.
Very much.
Retiring means something different in sports than it means in non-sporting jobs. So we'll see what happens there. Want to get to this sound. Mike Brown, very happy with the squad and really everything that they've been doing. They come out, they show out, they take care of business. Really just front to back a butt whooping. 123-98. Malik Monk balls out. He really shows, hey, you know, from going to getting slapped in the back of the head, oops, upside your head, by Michael Jordan to coming back after he was pressing a little bit when Charlotte came to town, and he really kind of made up for it. And the whole team really made up for it because it wasn't just him. They had an awful game when they lost to Charlotte last week. So here's Mike Brown talking about this team getting close to reaching their full potential.
Obviously, their records are what they are, but to win the way you guys did, what's that mean for you guys at this point?
Well, it means that we're starting to, knock on wood, round into who we think we're capable of being night in and night out. And, you know, we could talk about it all we want. We got to go out there and we got to prove it on a daily basis. And I do. I like our spirit. I like the way that we're just flying around defensively. I like how we're trying to play fast offensively still and how we're sharing the ball. You know, those bode well, especially when you're on the road. But those things bode well for the quote-unquote dog days of the season, because there's a lot of teams at this point in the year, and usually carries up to All-Star break, who are kind of figuring out if they want to play or not. And then after All-Star break, they figured it out. The ones that don't want to play, you'll see it. And the ones that do, they'll keep playing as hard as they can. And so for us to trend in the direction we're going, I'm excited about it.
Wow. I think what I took away from that is the All-Star piece. And really, because Coach Mike Brown has been in this league for so long, basically you're going to see teams start to sell games, or just not sell games, but not really put their best foot forward after the All-Star break.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if you're on the cusp, and I would say if you're a fifth seed, you're kind of on the cusp. Sure. Who do you want to be? So I wouldn't call that challenging his team, but saying we have to keep on this upwards trajectory if we want to get this done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, he does correctly point out at some point here come the All-Star break, though, even teams like the Grizzlies are already starting to wave that white flag.
Yeah, it's done.
And, you know, there's a couple teams that'll kind of fall into that as well. But yeah, I mean, you got to take advantage now. Now is really the time where you can separate yourselves. I mean, right now, I was looking at it last night, and I think it changed. But if you look at the Western Conference standings, yeah, it's changed a little bit. But how tight it was. Yesterday, it was first place. The Timberwolves had 10 losses.
I saw that.
Second place had 11 losses. Today, it's 11 losses for the first two seeds, 13 losses for the 3 and 4, 14 losses for the Kings, 15 losses for the 6-seed Pelicans, 16 losses for the Mavericks, so on so forth. You get the idea. This Western Conference is so tight right now. That's why it was so important. We were saying before this 9-game stretch happened, these are very important 9 games. And I think the Kings went 6-3 in that stretch, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Good. They could have done a little bit better. But it was really important because, yeah, now that you have a tough stretch of not just how you're closing this road trip, but if you look at the road trip that's coming up after the Kings come home for that 2-game homestand, it's brutal. So you got to be playing your best basketball right now. It's good that Mike Brown seems to think that his team is coming together, I guess, at the right time. But now is definitely a good time to strike and a good time to start to kind of round into form. And it's felt like these past couple games with, frankly, ever since Sabonis has really feels like he's taken the team MVP mantle, this team has really just kind of fallen into place.
Yeah, got to get to a break. When we get back, more sound from Coach Mike Brown talking about the team being as connected as any group he's ever been a part of. We also talk about Keegan Murray balling and doing his thing and the expectations going into a huge weekend with two East Coast beasts. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's Styles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. And shout out to Kyle behind the glass for us today. It's been a while since we've had Kyle, so thank you, Kyle, for doing your thing.
Appreciate that. Glad to be here, you guys.
Good, good, good. All right, as we continue to talk Kings, Beam Talk, and thank you for everybody that joined the Beam Spaces yesterday, halftime, as we broke down the Kings and Hornets. It actually was much more pleasant than the day before because the Kings were actually doing what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, how about that?
They were taking care of business, and, you know, we talked a lot yesterday about how something looks matters, and the Kings last night looked the part of a team that knows how to go out and take care of business. And maybe it's because they are much more connected than they have been in the past. And maybe they're just a very connected team in general. Here's Mike Brown saying that they might be one of the most connected groups that he's ever been a part of.
Yeah, I mean, this group is special. And it's special from the standpoint that, like I tell you back, it's similar to when I first went to Cleveland. A lot of the guys on that roster they hadn't been in significant roles and won at a high level. And, you know, LeBron was young, so he hadn't made the playoffs. And we had other guys around that were fairly young and that were kind of finding their way. And we had a couple of veterans in there mixed up with them, in Eric Snow and Zydrunas Ilgauskas. And it's similar to that with HB in the mix a little bit, with Trey in the mix. But a lot of these guys are guys that were in situations where people either A, gave up on them, or B, they were playing, but their role wasn't significant with that team, and they won at a high level. So now guys are cast in a bigger role here, and they're figuring out on the fly together of how to win at a high level, and hopefully it'll translate to the playoffs too, and that's what makes this special. The last thing I would say is, this group is about as connected as any group that I've been with. They really enjoy each other as people, and on top of that, they enjoy playing with each other as teammates.
I think it's really important. I think all of that is important. I mean, we see that. I think teams can be good enough to win and not be that close,
totally,
or connected.
Early 2000s Lakers.
Yes, right. You might be able to hate each other if you're talented enough, but if you are lacking talent anywhere, that connection can take you where you need to go.
Totally.
I mean, I look at the 2022 Warriors.
Exactly.
And yeah, sure. You can make the argument now the way Wiggins and Poole have looked since that year, that maybe the fact that the vibes were so
totally
good, that environment helped. And Wiggins, hey, man, we love what you do. We want you to be a third option. We're cool with it. Just be you. Wow, I have somebody that believes in me, and somebody that, you know, is I can be cool with. Wiggins and Poole were really close. Obviously, you have the trio of Steph, Draymond, and Klay. And was that team? Nobody really had that team do it. They know they had Steph Curry. We know they had Steph.
Right.
But nobody really had them, you know, marked down to win the whole thing, right? They were probably top seven-ish in best odds to win it. But nobody thought, it's definitely going to be them. And going into the finals, everybody had the Celtics picked. So if you are lacking anywhere, that connection, not only does it help off the court, it helps on the court.
Absolutely.
Because when you have that belief and you have a real boy, and we know the Kentucky connection with Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox, all that stuff helps. So I think it's a big deal.
It's huge. No, continuity is massive, and that's why everybody, I think the Warrior 2022 Warrior team is a perfect example, because that's how playing with a collection of guys for a certain amount of years or whatever, more than your opponents even, is the important thing, can do for you. Like, it's just knowing, you know, the more De'Aaron and Domas play together, the more De'Aaron's going to know, or Sabonis will know, hey, De'Aaron really likes it when I give him a bounce pass on his drives instead of a chest pass. Or, he likes it when he's right near the rim instead of a couple steps before. And all those kind of things are things you can only know unless, A, you just do a ton of film study. But, B, I mean, you're going to have to experience it in real time. I mean, you know, I think of, if when you're growing up in school and you have your schoolyard group of friends that you guys are always playing with, if you guys are playing together, again, you play at recess every day. You know who likes what shot.
I put up numbers at recess.
Exactly. You
I
know everybody's numbers. Weaknesses. And it's not just strengths. It's weaknesses, too. It's, I know every time Malik gets attacked going left, he's going to get blown by. He just doesn't have the same quickness. So I know if that's the case, if somebody's going to take him that way, I already know I got to make sure I'm early on my rotations. All that stuff is huge. It's crazy to hear that this group is more connected than last year's group, though, because last year's group, I mean, the vibes were incredible. I would say from the outside looking in, the vibes seemed better last year than this year. Maybe it's the expectations that we're all putting on them, but to me, with the beam, and maybe it's like you were saying about the Warriors with Wiggins, everything was new, everything was fresh. It just felt like the overall vibe was better from the crowd to the team. So to hear Mike Brown say that this group is even more connected than last year, to me, that's not nothing. And I'm definitely taking that And I'm going to bank it because I think that that's something that will show at some point this year. You're always, especially, you know, when things get tough, it's that's really when that group camaraderie is going to be tested.
It has
been tested, and it'll crush you if you're not connected. Look at the Warriors. I mean, look how that Jordan Poole punch almost imploded them so many times last year, so much so that Steph had to give that crazy speech at the end of game six in order to rally his guys. And even then, Steph had to drop 50 in order for them to clear that series. It can be huge if your team isn't connected. And just, again, when you face adversity, you no longer trust the guy next to you. You're blaming him. You're pointing fingers. Mm-hmm. And we all know that's, I mean, in any work environment, that's not going to produce the best result. So having true friendship, having true camaraderie, having true trust with your teammates is massive just for getting through the 82-game grind.
But now I have a, I guess, dilemma because we're hearing they're the most connected. And, you know, when you win, everything is great.
Oh, yeah.
But we were just talking about this team giving up 47 to the Pistons.
Right.
And look, I didn't really care. I wanted to see what they did last night because they did win that game. But the blowouts to the Pelicans, is it to the point? Because they're going to get blown out again at some point.
Yeah.
We don't know when. So now if I hear this stuff from Coach Mike Brown, are we supposed to just trust that everything is okay? Because we saw, I mean, even just 2 days ago, did Coach Mike Brown lose the locker room?
Right.
What's going on with the team? What's up with De'Aaron? And now we're hearing this is the most connected group he's ever been with. So the next time they get blown out by, you know, and I don't know, get the Pelicans one more time.
Right.
What am I supposed to think?
Yeah. I don't know what to do with that. I would guess it's just the bounce back. And that's, like you said, a blowout is guaranteed to happen. There's still, whatever, 40-plus games left in the season. They've gotten blown out, what, 10 times already this year? At least one more time is going to happen. What the group being connected tells me is there should be a recovery from the team. If they get blown out, which, getting killed by 50 at home and then losing by 30 to the Pelicans, that's the type of thing, like you said, without having an in-house meeting and a players-only meeting for them to come together. And, you know, the Detroit game wasn't great, but even then, in real time, in the middle of that game, to not crumble, to not point fingers, to not say, oh my God, like, here coach is going to ream us, here we go again, for them to pick themselves up, I think that's the showing of the connectivity, and that's ideally, I think, what Mike Brown is hoping from this team, is that through all this adversity, because they're so close, forget all the trade rumors, forget all that stuff, it seems like that's going to go quiet, at least for the time
being. That's actually a good point, though.
Let's come together and just do it.
If this is the most connected team, I mean, I know business is business, but do you want to mess that up? If you're Monty McNair and you hear Coach Mike Brown say that, you can't. This isn't Steph Curry saying, if you do the same thing, that's insanity, right? Which he said last night.
We sure did.
Plenty of Warriors sound because we could be looking at a trade with the Warriors. But if you're Monty McNair, you can't let that sway you, right? I mean, that's cool, and I'm
happy.
It's
a good starting point. Yeah.
But this is a business, and I got to make the best moves. We just talked about, is Coach Mike Brown actually speaking to Monty McNair when he says guys aren't doing things and he's playing JTA? So could it more so be these guys are connected, but it's more about the guys that I'm able to count on more than others are really the ones that are connected. Yeah. It's hard for me to believe that Chris Duarte is as connected with the guys that played last season. And not that Chris Duarte is on the chopping block. But even, I mean, I know Harrison Barnes has been there. But I don't think it throws a wrench into anything. Because Jermaine McNair, you still got to make moves. This is the NBA. This is not CYO, okay? Right. So you still got to make moves. But I do think it might at least make him, okay.
Definitely.
Hey, Mike, do you want to have a conversation?
Who are the right guys even? Or like, or what is the Jenga block that's too crucial to this? Like, is Harrison Barnes so crucial to the connectivity of this entire team that if I take that piece out, everything could crumble based on the guy you bring in?
For the guy you bring in, right? Yep. Hey, is messing up the connectivity worth a Dorian Finney-Smith?
Yep.
We know Pascal might be worse messing up the connectivity, but what's that line?
Yep.
And they need to probably have that conversation. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, Sam Amick had a conversation with Jason Ross. during the morning show, and we will have sound for you as he talks more Pascal Siakam. Maybe this thing isn't done yet. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. The Kings are rolling. Connections, the vibes, everything is where it needs to be right now. And just, what, less than 48 hours ago, when they were down 20 to the worst team in the league, a shorthanded worst team in the league, and gave up 47 points, Kings fans were in shambles. Yeah. Not so much anymore, but look, I'm sure there's still a lot of people out there thinking, hey, I mean, they did what they were supposed to
sure.
do. It was the Pistons
yeah.
and the Hornets. Let's see what happens here.
Because
I'll tell you what, I don't want to hear about connectivity if you don't have to win both. You don't even have to win both games. You can't get blown out.
Be
both
competitive,
games.
Man.
Yes.
That's the thing that's like been crazy about why I don't understand why people are questioning us for the Kings, for being upset at the Kings being blown out.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it doesn't have to be like that.
Right.
You can lose and still lose respectively. Oh my God.
Fully.
Thank
you.
There
you go.
Man, long week. So glad next week we have a shorter week, man. These 5-day weeks are just too much for me.
You're good.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely think that this team, like, they have a lot to prove still. I mean, yeah, the real test, you could definitely say, starts now. You did what you were supposed to do. But again, this is where these are the caliber of teams that you're supposed to be playing with. And so you better at least, again, just show up. We're not saying you got to get both results, but show some fight. Show some, okay, the Sixers can't just get exactly what they want, and we're going to respond and do what we can. Like, try and actually take things away from these two teams. I want to see what it would look like if these two teams maybe met in a game that actually
That's
had
right.
some stakes. And so, yeah, I hope that the Kings take the momentum that they've gotten from these two wins. I mean, I'm looking at it now, and it doesn't feel like it. Kings have won 4 of their last 5. They've won 6 of their last 8. Like, they're winning basketball games right now, regardless of how it looks. Take that momentum, take those good feelings, and hopefully keep them going. Don't crush it. Again, if you play the Sixers, you play the Bucks, and you lose competitive games, that's not going to kill your spirit. It's not going to have you feeling like, oh, man, I'm telling you, something's wrong. Trade's yeah. around the corner. Everybody should be checking over their shoulder. Try and keep this thing balanced. And, yeah, I mean, you know, of course, go out there and get the result if you can. But if you can't, at least make it competitive.
Man. Yeah, yeah. That's all I want to see. You don't even have to win either game.
Mm-mm.
You
Mm-mm.
really don't. No. But if you are—
Show me something.
Yes, if you are a shot away and it rims out or something doesn't go your way or Giannis just drops 60 on you and you try to take the ball from them and there's a whole nother situation.
Show some anger.
Give
Show
us something
some
like that. But, you know, the bottom line is we still don't think that this team is probably championship level as constructed.
Right.
And that is why we continue to have these conversations about trades and who is available. So Sam Amick, friend of the station and of the morning show of The Athletic, great piece earlier this yeah. week about what's going on with Pascal Siakam. He was on with Jason Ross earlier this morning and had some things to say about Pascal Siakam not being that excited about the specific situation.
If he's a free agent this summer, as expected, but more specifically to the Kings, that he's not excited about that possible situation and would very likely not resign.
Not good. Not good. There's okay. more sound here. This is also Mr. Amick saying that he doesn't hate Sacramento. It's not about the market. This is it
so
right here.
Nobody's trying to say he's not going to show up and ball out. So from there, who knows? But I do think there's it's not a market thing per se. There is a specific element with the Kings that it just doesn't have him excited. So, you know, that'll be part of their calculus.
Yeah.
What does that mean, Sam? What does it mean?
I think it's
though?
Very. I'm pretty sure I know what it means.
What's
per,
that?
Per source, the source is
okay.
me. Per me.
Uh-huh.
All right. It's exactly what we talked about on the Kings Roundtable in yesterday's show. Right. you have he wants to be, I guess, numero uno, and at worst, number two. You have Sabonis, who is balling out of control. We got to talk about fan votes. Can I say this real quick? A quick tangent. Can you please go vote for Domas? He's not even on the list in the front court. He's not on the list. He's got, in 2024, better stats than Jokic. Okay, we know it's a popularity contest. Go out there and vote. I see everybody. Look, if you're listening on the apps or wherever it may be, and you're not in the Sacramento area, you know you got to take care of business. Those listening that may not be in the Sacramento area, we see you at the games. We see you chanting "Light the Beam" in Detroit and Charlotte. You got to go out there and take care of business, all right? Got to vote for our guy who's putting up Wilt Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson numbers. Please.
It's crazy.
So it might be too late to get him into the top three for a starter, but what's the number if you see him on
just
the graphic
the
you'd
list.
Be okay with? So
just, he's not on the list.
If De'Aaron's eight, like, it's, yeah, at this point, it's
just
so
him
on the list.
He should be eight? Is that what you're thinking?
Get him on the list.
Okay.
I understand De'Aaron's more popular than Sabonis is, but it's like, if De'Aaron's eight, then it's like Sabonis, he's got to be at least 10 here. Come on.
He's got to be on the list. So go out there, take care of business. You have to do it, okay?
Get more votes than Karl-Anthony Towns, man. Come on.
Right.
That's the bar. Got it.
That's the bar. Okay. Now, getting back, he was on MVP ladders.
Yep.
Sabonis still on is. MVP ladders.
Shout out,
okay? And here's
basketball reference. Has him at eight.
Here's the front court, all right? Number one, LeBron James. Number two, Jokic. Number three, Kevin Durant. Number four, Anthony Davis. Number five, Kawhi Leonard. Number six, Şengün.
Yeah, come on.
He's balling, but Şengün.
That's NBA Twitter just going
ham. Sabonis will get in over Şengün, but Şengün deserves to be an all-star.
Yeah, but sure. This is fan voting, though. I'm not saying actual play. I'm just saying popularity. Go out and take care of business.
A lot of people in Houston.
There's a lot of people out here. A lot of people chanted "Light the Beam" all over the place, all right? That's why the Kings were the team of the year, an innovative team, okay, who came up with the beam. Paul George, number seven. Wembanyama, number eight, all right. Chet Holmgren, number nine, and to Chris's point, Karl-Anthony Towns, number 10. I thought people didn't even like Karl-Anthony Towns.
They don't. They sure
how
don't.
How is he on the list? Everyone's always making fun of him.
Tells you how much people don't like Sabonis.
That's actually a great point.
That's
an outstanding point. Yeah. And I like Karl-Anthony Towns, don't get me wrong, but I thought other people didn't. But somehow, he's number 10. All right, get him back. We'll talk more about the All-Star vote later in the All-Star game. Get out there and vote. De'Aaron Fox, still number eight among guards. Getting back to the conversation about Sam Amick. It's very simple. Chris, and you can say, you know, per source, which is myself, you got De'Aaron Fox, you got Sabonis, and you got the rise of Keegan Murray. I don't think Keegan Murray would count the same way against Siakam, but I do think it's simply, I want to be a clear-cut number one or two. And that's the thing about making a big three, you have to find somebody that wants to be three.
Yeah.
And maybe, and here's the problem. It's not that Sabonis doesn't want to be three. I think the problem is right now, we don't see how he could be three based on how the offense works.
Exactly.
You just spent all this time saying we can't afford to sit Sabonis even against the Hornets because who's going to – now, maybe having Siakam and that redundancy, instead of looking at it as a negative, would be a positive. You could think about it like that. But maybe Siakam is saying, I'm not signing up for that one.
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely be my guess, too. I mean, like you said, he's somebody who's been traditionally the number one or number two option for his team, and he's probably looking for, I mean, if he is going to be the third option, something tells me he'd much rather be the third option in L.A. than in Sacramento, and I think that's more what it comes down to as well. I don't think it's necessarily
the market specific, but
if you're going to ask me to do this, then I'm going to need to be getting something out of the situation besides, I love this city, but besides the love of basketball, because that's really what you're asking
for. Or the star power.
Because, he wants to be, like you said, he wants to be that star. He wants to be in Golden State. It doesn't sound like he's guaranteeing he's going to re-sign with anybody, but it sounds to me he's definitely leaning towards, if he is going to be moved, he'd prefer Golden State be the destination because, you know, he gets to play with Steph Curry. There's the cachet of, oh my gosh, like I'm in this big market, and if I can turn this thing around, then people are going to be talking about Pascal Siakam at a different level. It makes sense to me, but ultimately, I mean, I think the Kings just shouldn't be in on him. I feel like with all the will he, won't he, of course it makes a little bit of sense, like we talked about yesterday. If they come back and say, all right, we will do Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes, you can think about it for sure. It definitely becomes a lot more enticing at that point. But for this guy who could possibly, A, ruin your vibe, which we just talked about, or B, just completely ruin your style of play, like that's a big piece to just throw into this offense and say, let's figure it out on the fly and hope that you can just kind of slip into a role, or we can carve a role out for you again. That feels like that would really derail everything that this team is built towards this year.
And we just played the sound, the most connected team that Coach Mike Brown has ever been around. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation, if Pascal is off the board, who should the Kings look at? And the Warriors, they are having a fire sale in the Bay Area. It might be the cheapest thing that you can buy in the Bay Area, a Warriors player besides one Steph Curry. We're opening up the phone lines on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, 916-339-1140. Shout out to the Sack Chat, haven't done that yet. And shout out to the text line, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.